Punk and One More Time, and Billy Idol, Eyes Without a Face. A bit like wearing a face mask, isn't it? And he's 65 today, so Rob informs us.
Really?
Yeah, at least he's older than me. At the Full English Breakfast Show, a mysterious metal monolith discovered last week in the deserts in the US state of Utah has disappeared. Utah's Bureau of Land Management said it had seen credible reports the objects had been removed by an unknown party. Social media images, apparently from the site, show a pile of rocks and a small piece of metal left behind. The discovery of the 3.7-metre-high object sparked a national guessing game as to how it got there and saw dozens of people pay a visit in recent days. It's aliens. It's got to be. It's got to be.
I thought they'd got to the bottom of this.
Apparently not.
Still, okay.
The strange metal object was first spotted on the 18th of November by a helicopter crew counting bighorn sheep from the air. News of its discovery and speculation over its origins quickly went viral on social media, with many observers presuming it was an art installation left by a sculptor. As yet, no one has claimed responsibility for installing the structure. Ryan Backer, a Utah helicopter pilot who visited the site, told local station KSL that when his friend returned the next day, it had gone. 24 hours later, my close friend, who's also a helicopter pilot, flew his family down to see it and found it had been taken down. The state's Bureau of Land Management said in a statement it had not removed the structure, which is considered private property. And several people posted images on social media said to be from the site, posing with what remained of the monolith. It's like 2001 A Space Odyssey, honestly.
You think it's aliens, do you?
Well, I mean, somebody must have gone to a lot of effort to put it there. It was quite big and heavy.
Yeah.
You think somebody just went and dumped it there for a bit of
a laugh. Yeah.
To make people start saying, oh, it's aliens, like me. Maybe we're the gullible ones. Right, this is new from Foo Fighters. It's a bit of a change in direction as well. Shame, shame. When you can start giving me Christmas songs.
No, not yet. Question number one in today's pop quiz. It's this British singer-songwriter's birthday today. She was born on this day in 1968. She had a 1998 UK number 8 single with Life.
Desiree.
Correct. Question number two. On this day in 1971, Sly and the Family Stone were at number one in the US with a song which was ranked 138 on the Rolling Stones magazine list of 500 greatest songs of all time. Which song was it?
Family Affair.
Correct. And finally, in 1985 in the UK, in this year, it marked a British Telecom announced it was going to phase out its iconic red telephone boxes. The first mobile phone calls in the UK were made, and the Sinclair C5 was designed by the British inventor Clive Sinclair, and it was launched. And EastEnders, the BBC One soap opera, debuted on a British television, as well as, of course, in July, Live Aid, which raised money for famine relief in Ethiopia.
Dirty Den.
But on this day in 1985, Wham were at number one with which song? It was the duo's third UK number one and a number three hit in the US. To give you a clue, it definitely came after songs such as Club Tropicana, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, Careless Whisper, all came before this track.
Freedom?
No. Freedom even came before it. It was after I went to their concert in 1984, the big tour, December 1984, which was when they had the hit with Last Christmas. So it was after Last Christmas. It was their hit after Last Christmas.
And it was popular around Live Aid. No, I don't think I'm going to get it.
No, it was I'm Your Man.
Oh, right, OK.
Talking of I'm Your Man, I watched The Holiday with Charlotte.
You're not a man.
No, I watched The Holiday with Charlotte. Have you seen that film?
The Holiday.
The Holiday.
Is that a Christmas film?
Yes.
No.
Well, Jude Law's in it. And I reminded Charlotte that I apparently kissed Jude Law in Covent Garden many moons ago, at which point, after the film, Charlotte just turned to me and said, "Oh, you'd be better off sticking with him."
It's nice, isn't it?
Watch The Holiday if you get a chance.
You kissed.
Cameron Diaz.
You haven't kissed Cameron Diaz.
No, I haven't.
Well, that's good.
No, not yet.
A relief. I was starting to worry about you.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Feeling a bit sluggish this morning, are we?
No, not too bad at all.
Not picking it up, you know. No answer is said on your thing.
No, well, you know, as soon as I know it's you, I used to think, oh, gosh, is this where we are again?
Really,
is this
nice.
What my life has
Highlights
come down
of your
to?
Day, isn't it?
No, it's an
Come on, no one else gives you as much
moment.
Entertainment as me.
It just eats away at the psyche. If I'm being absolutely honest with you.
Well, don't do it anymore then.
Well, you know, you'd miss me. The ratings would plummet.
Not quite sure about
station
that.
Station would be in turmoil.
Probably.
Let's think about it.
Absolutely. Okay, right. Well, you should be pretty happy because markets have had a bumper November, haven't they?
They really have. Investors gave thanks last week as equity markets surged to record levels. Global stocks on track for their best month on record, up 13%. US political uncertainty diminished as hopes of an orderly transition come to the fore. Clinical trials continue to paint a positive vaccine picture. Central banks are promising future support. Though gains have been tempered by the virus toll, which we know continues to mount. Economic data reports, which remain mixed, it's against the backdrop of elevated valuations. If you look at the weekly performance, S&P 500 is up 2.3%, closed at an all-time high on Friday, is up 13% year-to-date. In Europe, Stock 600 was up 0.9% last week, is up 15% in November, quite incredible. Safe havens broadly weaker. Gold slumped to a four-month low last week, trading below $1,800 an ounce this morning. Dollar's also been weaker. Market, I guess this week, will focus on the OPEC meeting. Also, remember on Friday, get the US employment report, non-farm payrolls. We expect the US economy created 500,000 jobs in November. Unemployment rate, we look to tick down to 6.6% from 6.9%. Opening calls on the European bourses this morning, looking slightly weaker. Currently calling it FTSE down 11 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 50 points. CAC 40 in Paris down 21 points.
Is it too early for the Santa rally?
The Santa rally, I think it's come early this year in November. The question is, do we hang on to these gains as we look through the final month of the year and investors start thinking truly about the shape of the recovery as you look out to 2021?
So you're grumpy because you had to put the Christmas decorations up at the weekend, is that why?
Well, you know, the putting of the Christmas tree up is this sort of traditional start to the family arguments, isn't it? As you realise the lights are tangled from last year. Although I do work hard to put them away nicely each year, it has to be said. My strategy is go for a two-tree approach. Now, I don't know if you've embraced this, but certainly with young children, you need to go for this. I like a very classical tree. I don't like coloured lights. I like gold, and I like red as the colours, to be honest with you. Not too much messing around with it. I don't like homemade decorations. I don't like things brought back from school, quite frankly, to put on my tree. So I've created a second children's tree, which has helped to alleviate some of that pressure.
Tinsel or no tinsel?
On the kids' tree, there is tinsel. On my tree, there's absolutely no sign of tinsel.
But isn't your wife in charge of that kind of stuff?
She's a chief operating officer, so I make the executive decisions and she executes it.
Well, if you get it wrong, you get fired, won't you?
This is true.
Okay, let's have more about OPEC meeting coming up this week. Are they going to sort of cut production, or will they be quite happy that prices are going in the right direction?
Prices have been going in the right direction. That's promising for them. Normally, this is a nice meeting. It's the Christmas markets in Vienna, although, of course, it'll be virtual this time around. Question for members is whether to delay a production increase that's penciled in for January of 2 million barrels per day. If so, for how long? Demand, as we know, as you say, has been recovering over the course of the past few months to somewhere around 90% of the normal level, though jet fuel demand still apparently remains weak at around 50% of pre-pandemic levels. Been somewhat of an uneven recovery. Demand in Asia, as you know, has been surging. And that's not just China. It's also the likes of India, Japan and South Korea. If you look at Europe, however, the United States, by contrast, still remains relatively weak. In terms of supply, we have seen some elements of recovery there. Output from Libya has been increasing. The US has been back on stream in terms of production as well, regaining some momentum after the hurricane damage. As economies reopen, vaccine hopes rise. The oil price has been recovering. Brent trading close to $45 a barrel. We think as the economy continues to gather momentum, the recovery shines through next year, we'll see Brent somewhere close to $55 average.
Yes, I had noticed the prices have gone up at the pumps when I filled up on Friday.
You don't like that, do you?
No, I don't, no.
You watch the price, the oil price very carefully.
I do. It's an expensive business driving. Driving from Antibes to Monaco and back every day, you know. And
speed
that's
you
up.
Drive at as well. I
don't
can imagine
you start.
It's very fuel inefficient.
Yeah, okay. Can't remember the last time I had a speeding ticket, unlike you.
It's been a while, actually, since I did a course a little while ago.
You did? You had to do a course? Oh, no.
A driving awareness course.
Well, what did you do?
Speeding.
But how fast were you going?
Only a couple of miles over the limit.
Yeah, I think that's a bit unfair, isn't it?
I said a couple of miles. I shouldn't say only. This is something that I've learned from the course. You know, that's also important.
Right. And Arcadia, is it the end of Philip Green's business empire?
We have to wait and see. Of course, the Philip Green's empire includes some household names, like Topshop Burton's, Dorothy Perkins, Miss Selfridge. Dorothy Perkins is on the brink of going into administration. We know that threatening 13,000 jobs, concern for the pensions, an estimated £350 million hole in the pension fund, although, of course, will be covered by the Pension Protection Fund. Even before the pandemic, you could argue, Arcadia has been struggling with the structural change that's been taking place, particularly that move to online, new competitors coming into the market, ASOS, Boohoo, taking away some of their traditional customers. Arcadia's failure could have implications, we know, for JD Sports' decision to acquire Debenhams. Arcadia is Debenhams' largest concession holder. Debenhams employs around 12,000 people. If indeed Arcadia collapses, then it'll be another blow to the high street. Oasis, Warehouse, Laura Ashley, Peacocks and Jaeger have all fallen into administration. And somewhat a sad end to a glittering career for Sir Philip, once known as the king of the high street, but certainly not all over yet.
Yeah, so some reports said Mike Ashley had come in and offered 50 million quid, but it was turned down.
There was reports of a £50 million loan that had been offered. I saw some suggesting that if it was only a case of £50 million to save it, this wouldn't really be the problem. So it seems to be a broader perspective that some of the issues that they're dealing with at Arcadia beyond simply the cash flow of £50 million.
And also Sir Stuart Rose, or now Lord Rose, couldn't resist getting involved either, could he?
Somewhat of a bitter battle between them, of course. Sir Philip Green tried to buy Marks and Spencer, I think, twice, actually. And Stuart Rose was appointed in and stopped that from happening. So, yeah, not the greatest of friends, but certainly been business adversaries. But as I say, Sir Philip has been a genius before in terms of the financing and may well try to turn this one around.
Do you think that some of the brands will survive? For example, Topshop, Miss Selfridge, I mean, those are the more successful sort of lines. You know, Burton, Dorothy Perkins and Wallace haven't been so successful in recent years at all.
They're big names, they're well known, they're respected brands. They've been very strong in the past at being able to deliver what consumers wanted. They were very good in terms of understanding the supply chain and where the demand was going to come from in the future, and that move to fast fashion, you could argue. So it's not impossible to believe that even after this process there is some restructuring and the brand names at least can live on. The question is, can they develop into an online proposition, which is obviously where the market's going.
And what's the Barclays Brexometer saying about Brexit now? I mean, the pound's gone down by about a cent, hasn't it, over the last couple of days? And well, you know, it's just a toss-up, isn't it, really?
Yeah, lots of debate around fishing rights over the course of the weekend, and would we see a compromise coming through on that one? So I saw Dominic Raab talking about fishing, saying if that was to be resolved, then the other pieces could fall into place and a deal could come through. Still feels like we are moving inexorably towards a deal, but by no means inevitable.
Okay, well, you seem to be fairly confident. I thought you'd say you saw Dominic Raab down the pub when you're having your chicken in the basket on Friday night.
He doesn't live too far from me, actually, but no, I haven't seen him for a while.
He's your MP, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, okay. Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 133.5, euro dollar coming in at 119.5. Going to get just over 1 euro 11 cents for your British pound this morning.
I bet little Henry's disappointed that Chelsea didn't beat Spurs yesterday.
Yeah, there'll be some tears at school today. Lots of Chelsea fans and children of Chelsea players at Henry's school.
Oh,
so there'll
really?
Be a little, there'll be a little bit, I won't say which ones, but they'll be a little bit disappointed, no doubt.
OK, well, a draw wasn't a bad result, really.
Tottenham are doing well, aren't they?
They
Jose's
are.
Jose's back. He, you know, he's a fiery character. You can't underestimate him, can you?
No. Right, so thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Speak to you in the morning. Hank Parson Barclays. It's
on FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
Three people have been stabbed and wounded at an unauthorised dinner party in Apt in the Vaucluse. The perpetrator is to appear in court today in Avignon. 10 others who were at the party have been fined for ignoring COVID-19 restrictions. An investigation has been opened to determine the reason behind the attack. Meanwhile, the latest figures from Public Health France have shown that on Sunday, 198 people died from COVID-19 compared to 213 on Saturday. The total number of deaths in France since the start of the epidemic now stands at 52,325. The highest number of deaths recorded in 24 hours during the second wave was 551 on November the 9th. Regional figures for the Alpes-Maritimes published on Sunday show that 471 people are currently hospitalised, including 65 in intensive care. In the Var, 325 people are hospitalised due to COVID-19, including 50 in intensive care. And in Monaco, one new case was reported on Sunday, bringing the total number of residents affected by COVID-19 to 608. 12 people are currently in hospital and 24 people are being cared for by the Home Monitoring Centre. A month after the attack at the Notre Dame Church in Nice, which left three dead, a Sunday service has been held for the first time. The church reopened its doors on Sunday as a court challenge from French bishops at the weekend saw the Council of State give the French government 3 days to change the current restriction of limiting the number of churchgoers to 30, which was imposed due to COVID-19. Places of worship across France welcomed members of the public on Sunday under strict health protocol, but many did not limit the access to 30. A 19-year-old high school student from Nice with no criminal record has been given an 18-month prison sentence for threatening a teacher. The man told his teacher that he would die like Samuel Paty, and the teacher who was beheaded in October in Paris. While the man's lawyer said he had been making a joke and trying to impress a fellow female student, the public prosecutor convicted the student of advocating terrorism online and making death threats. Since the attack at the Notre Dame Church on the 29th of October, Nice's public prosecutor's office has carried out more than 20 investigations into advocating terrorism. 80 people have been evacuated and a man is in a critical condition in hospital following a fire in a hotel in Nice. The blaze broke out at the Azurier Hotel on Rue Paganini on Saturday evening shortly after 10:30 p.m. 60 firefighters were deployed to the scene. Deputy Mayor of Nice, Anthony Boré, congratulated municipal police on the social network Twitter for having arrested a man who could be at the origin of the fire. Demonstrations have taken place in Aix-en-Provence against Amazon. As small non-essential businesses reopened at the weekend, several associations and groups gathered on Saturday to denounce the misdeeds of Amazon and its world. Protesters objected to what they considered to be unfair competition, as well as the project to build 20 additional Amazon warehouses in France in 2021, and one in the Gard, which is just 20 minutes from Avignon. The Paris prosecutor has said that the case over the beating of Michel Zecler is to be handed to an investigating magistrate who will decide on charges and detention measures. The three officers suspected of carrying out the beating should remain in custody, while a fourth who arrived on the scene later and set off a tear gas canister is to be freed under conditions. The beating of music producer Michel Zecler, exposed in a video footage published last week, has become a focus of anger against the police in France. Protests in Paris saw a brasserie set alight, cars set on fire, and stones thrown at security forces, who responded with tear gas and anti-riot tactics. Police said 62 officers were injured at the demonstrations and 81 people were arrested. France's interior minister said the violence and protests were unacceptable. A nativity figurine of French Professor Didier Raoult has reportedly already sold out. The French craftswoman from Saint-Cyr-sur-Mer created the not-so-traditional nativity figurine, saying she felt inspired to include in this year's collection a personality who had marked the news in 2020. The collection also includes a nurse with a Red Cross uniform from 1890 and a doctor treating the plague in 1720. Bars and restaurants are currently able to open until 6 p.m. in Rome under coronavirus restrictions, and one bar has decided to add another restriction, a banning talk about COVID-19. The owner of Bar Feeling said customers can talk about history, gossip, culture and weather, anything but coronavirus. Christina Mattioli banned all COVID chats after the mood became too heavy, spoiling the convivial atmosphere, especially over morning coffee. And customers have offered their own suggestions of alternative topics. You can talk about the weather or lovers or partners. You can talk about anything, said one. Coronavirus exists and that it's created problems as well as a lot of anxiety. It's for this reason we should try to let go of this anxiety and try to live with more simplicity. And finally, something good to come out of 2020, a Christmas song for dogs. Raise the Woof has been released, and the jingle was created based on scientific research into the way dogs interact with sound. So if your dog is fed up with Mariah Carey and All I Want for Christmas Is You, why not try Raise the Woof? And feel free to send us your dog's reactions to the track that might just make it to number one for Christmas.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
He'll never be as good as Woofer of the Week. Now, Formula One, the sport's facing a major safety question after the Haas driver Romain Grosjean was involved in a horrific crash at the Bahrain Grand Prix on Sunday. Grosjean's car hit the barriers, split into two and burst into flames on the first lap of the race. Miraculously, he walked away and appears to have been saved by the halo head protection device in his cockpit. He's been treated in hospital for burns to the back of both hands, but is expected to make a full recovery. Formula One will need to conduct an urgent safety review into how the car was able to pierce the barrier, why the car split in two, and what happened to create such a ferocious fire. Grosjean was also stuck inside the car for nearly 30 seconds, engulfed in flames, before he managed to escape. If he'd been unconscious, the consequences could have been far more serious. Lewis Hamilton won the race to claim his 11th victory of the season, with Max Verstappen second and Alex Albon in third. Really was absolutely horrific. Very, very lucky. Now, football, there were three games in the English Premier League on Sunday. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Alistair Ross at BBC Sport, and tributes have been paid to the former Premier League and Senegal midfielder Papabouba Diop, who has died aged 42 after a long illness. Former clubs Fulham, West Ham and Portsmouth are among those who've paid their respects. Harry Redknapp managed Diop at Portsmouth.
Just a big gentle giant, always happy. He'd always laugh at corniest of jokes that you go or anything. You know, I'd do something or say something and he was always up for having a laugh. He looked aggressive on the pitch because he was so big. He was great in the air, but there was nothing nasty about him ever. And I'm so sad to hear about that.
Wolves striker Raul Jimenez has been taken to hospital, having needed 10 minutes of on-pitch treatment in their 2-1 win at Arsenal. For Arsenal, a third straight home defeat leaves them 14th in the table. Wolves go up to 6th. Tottenham return to the top of the league despite being held by Chelsea in a competitive goalless London stalemate. Spurs manager Jose Mourinho felt his side deserved more from the match.
The best thing for me today is that my dressing room is not happy. You come to Stamford Bridge, a draw normally is a good result. To stay top of the league is a nice thing. They're not happy. I'm not happy. And that, for me, is the best feeling of all.
Two goals from substitute Enzo Cavani helped Manchester United fight back from 2-0 down to win 3-2 against Southampton. On Monday, Leicester host Fulham. Aston Villa travelled to West Ham. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Jose, he's not happy.
He's not.
No. Why is it whenever there's a really big game on and you think, oh, this is going to be fantastic and really going to enjoy this one, it ends up being a goalless draw?
Well, Liverpool as well.
Yeah, well, that was 1-1,
well,
wasn't
1-1,
it?
Yeah,
Jurgen Klopp wasn't happy after
that
either.
No.
But I don't know about Jose thinking Spurs deserve more. Chelsea had the better chances, I thought, and Werner had the goal in the back of the net in the first half. It was ruled out for offside. So anyway, Spurs a point apiece is just about good enough. Spurs top then, 21 points from 10 games. Liverpool on 21 as well, but they've got an inferior goal difference. Chelsea third on 19. Leicester, who play tonight, they're on fourth place with 18 points. They could go top, actually, tonight. If they beat Fulham, and Southampton fifth, and Wolves in sixth place after that. So 2-1 win at Arsenal yesterday. Three games on the bounce, defeated in the league now for Arsenal. Two games tonight. Leicester host Fulham, West Ham against Aston Villa. In the English Championship on Sunday, Swansea were 1-0 winners at Nottingham Forest, while in the second round of the Scottish League Cup, Celtic lost 2-0 home to Ross County, and Rangers were 4-0 winners at Falkirk. Cricket, England have beaten South Africa by 4 wickets to wrap up the T20 series. In a low-scoring game, the Proteas made 146 for 6 in their 20 overs, with England guessing the total with one ball to spare in a total of 148 for 6. Australia have wrapped up the one-day series against India with a 51-run victory in the second game in Sydney. Steve Smith made another century as Australia reached 389 for 4 from their 50 overs. In reply, India could only manage 338 for 9. And in rugby union, Ireland have finished second in Group A of the Autumn Nations Cup with a 23-10 win over Georgia. Ireland will now play Scotland in the third-place playoff game, while the final will be between England and France. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? And there was one game in the Gallagher Premiership in England on Sunday. London Irish beat Leicester 22-9. In the Guinness Pro 14, Dragons were 26-19 winners at Benetton, and Glasgow Warriors were 19-10 winners at Cardiff Blues. There are two games tonight. Edinburgh play Ulster and Munster face Zebre. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the Var. The general situation is a thundery depression, 1,006 millibars over Sicily, and high pressure, 1,025 millibars over southwestern France and northern Spain. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,015 millibars, and the outlook for Tuesday, showery, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northerly, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, showery, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Partially cloudy today, light southwesterly winds, top temperature 16 degrees, overnight lows 10 degrees on the coast, 7 degrees inland with cloudy skies. Tuesday and Wednesday, well, it does look like it's going to finally get quite chilly. Overcast with rain at times tomorrow, partially cloudy on Wednesday, and cooler with highs of 12 or 13 degrees over the next couple of days. Finally.
What a flop. A recent poll has found that football fans lose interest in hanky-panky when their team loses on the pitch. Supporters suffer if they suffer a bad result on the pitch. Followers of Middlesbrough are the most likely to be affected. West Brom and Dundee United came next in second and third, with Derby County fourth in the ranking. Overall, around 1 in 20 football fans said defeat, especially at home, left them just not in the mood. Fans in Nottingham were the least affected. And Leicester City came fifth, so they better win tonight for partners of Leicester City fans. Not sure what happens when it's a draw, though.
Yeah.
Well, anything to say on the matter?
Just a bit of slap and tickle if it's a draw. I don't know. I mean, do people really take it that seriously? I mean,
some people can get quite heads up.
When I was a young man, I used to take it very seriously, I must admit. But these days, I don't care if Chelsea win or lose. I'd like to see them win, but if they lose, well, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. But it's in Middlesbrough. You'd think they just have to do it to keep warm up there.